Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. We are on our trip around Kansas City World Tour and our Find a New Producer World Tour. 2 days ago, we were at the Community Blood Center.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we were in Kansas Hall.
Yeah.
Today, we're at the Ainsworth over here. Is it called Park Place Boardwalk?
Oh, yeah, we're like we're in town center, I believe.
I live downtown. I'm from Missouri.
We're out in Leawood,
man. It's way too south for me.
We're out in Leawood.
Way too south for me. But we're hanging out here today at the Ainsworth. To my left, feeling right at home in Overland Park, it is the one, the only Brad Fanning. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing? It's one of my favorite times. We got a primetime game in Kansas City. We got an entire day to get fired up and ready to go. Takes me back to the days of the 2014 and 2015 Royals when all eyes were on Kansas City for a ridiculously good sporting event in our town.
Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we'll catch up with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus to get you the breakdown on Chiefs and Chargers today. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we will celebrate the greatness, which is Tony Gonzalez, who is going in the Chiefs Hall of Fame and the Ring of Honor today. We've got Chiefs and Chargers toss-ups. We've got player props. We've got Neil Smith stopping by, joining us on location here at Ainsworth. We got a lot to get into in today's show as we get you ready for Red Thursday as the Chiefs are taking on the Los Angeles Chargers in a very important AFC and deciding seed matchup in the AFC. And you think this is going to be Andy Reid's biggest test?
Yeah, I really do. Before we get to that, let's tell you about the specials they got going on out here at the Ainsworth. If you're in the service industry, come on out. 50% off drinks on Sunday, 30% off food. Happy hour 7 days a week. You got great brunch out here on Saturday and Sunday. And then if you come in on Sunday, you mention what we're talking about, that C-Dot and I were out here from 610 Sports Radio. How about Dollar Mimosas and Dollar Bellinis? So come on out and see us at the Ainsworth today. It's a great place. They got great brunch. They got great everything out here, to be honest with you. Yeah, to me, C-Dot, I think tonight's going to be maybe Andy Reid's biggest test of the season. And the reason I say that mainly has to do about with the injuries that are going on right now. You've got no Spencer Ware. You reported earlier today that Spencer Ware is out, so he will not play. He's battling the injury, the wrist and the shoulder injury from last week. So that means basically when it comes to the run game, the Chiefs are going to be relying on Charcandrick West, Damian Williams, and Darrell Williams. That's your running game for the Chiefs tonight. Now, let's go find out about these dudes, all right? I mean, the most carries that Damian Williams has had in his career was 11. In one game, back in his rookie season with the Dolphins in 2014. Now, we all know about Charcandrick West, good player for the Chiefs for a lot of years, but he wasn't playing for anybody at all this year until Kareem Hunt got cut. So I'm curious to see what West will have tonight. As for the other guy, Darrell Williams, he's a rookie out of LSU that has zero carries. So when it comes to the running game tonight, C-Dot, I don't think I'm not exactly sure what to expect from them, but I know Andy Reid's got to be able to scheme around that. I felt confident when you have Spencer Ware back there, the Williams guys, you can mix and match, get Tyreek the ball here and there, and you know, the Chiefs racked up 174 yards on the ground against the Raiders, but tonight's a different animal. It's a better defense, and the injuries in the running game concern me a little bit.
This is a game that I could see very similar to the game against the Oakland Raiders in which Patrick Mahomes is their leading rusher.
Yeah.
Like I could see him having 8 carries on scrambles for 55 yards and him being the biggest thing. I think more than anything, you talk about this test for Andy Reid, and we can certainly keep having that conversation. This is a Patrick Mahomes kind of day.
Yeah.
Man, the Chiefs are not having 25, 30 carries unless they get comfortable and you're just trying to bleed the clock a little bit. This is going to be a game in which Mahomes is throwing the ball 35, 40, 45 times.
Yeah.
This is a Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, DeMarcus Robinson, Kelvin Benjamin. Let's see how involved he is in the offense today. So I understand about the running game, and I understand the importance of being balanced. Man, today is not about Damian Williams or Darrell Williams or Charcandrick West. Today is about Patrick Mahomes and can you handle the volume of passing I think it's going to take to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing, though. I mean, when it comes to those running backs, though, man, I'm not just talking about the running game. What about protection? You know, Mahomes has got to be up there and over-communicate with these guys. Again, West, hey, he knows the Chiefs' offense, I think, but this is a different offense than when he was here. I mean, it's a completely different offense. Well, maybe not completely different, but it's different with Mahomes at quarterback instead of Alex Smith, so he hasn't played. Again, Damian Williams, not a whole lot of reps, man. And Darrell Williams, who's that guy? You know, so I think protection's going to be a big key tonight, too, because of what you said. I mean, Mahomes threw the ball 53 times against the Ravens. I could see that happening tonight. You know, I really could because of the running game situation. The protection part of that, too, when it comes to the running back is something that concerns me.
I mean, this is going to be one of those true running back by committee kind of days, and I think you're rolling with the hot hand. If you roll with Darrell Williams at the beginning of this game and he's getting off to a little bit of a groove, maybe you ride him for
a while
and you just see it. I don't think any one person is going to dominate touches. I was told earlier today to expect 8 to 12 touches from Charkandrick West. I could see it being a he gets 9, Damian Williams gets 9, Darrell Williams, however you want to divvy it up. I don't think there's going to be a true RB1 today for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't think, because they don't have a choice. I mean, I'm with you. I think Mahomes might run the football a little bit. You know, I think the Chiefs also, you know, they have enough to get the passing game going. But, you know, until the Chargers know exactly how healthy Tyreek Hill is, they're going to have to assume that he's 100%. So I'll be curious to see how they use Hill early on in this game and how Andy uses him. Because, you know, if you watch the end of that Ravens game, he was gutting it out. He was gutting it out, and he looked good making plays. Man, once he hit the sideline, he was limping, and it was bad. We saw him in practice a little bit this week. Didn't practice on Monday, limited the last 2 days. He'll be taped up with that ankle, and let's not forget about the arm injury that he suffered too. So I think the Chargers, at least in the beginning of this game, they're going to have to assume that Tyreek Hill is 100% ready to go, because if not, they can burn him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look at the injuries on this game. I kind of look at it. I think it's a wash on both sides.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about the injuries. No Austin Ekeler in this one. I don't think Melvin Gordon's going to be able to give it a go on this one. No Spencer Ware on one side. No Kareem Hunt. We already know about all the things that have happened with this. I kind of look at the injuries as being a moot point when it comes to this game. Both teams are banged up. Both teams are having to battle with the short week. I guess you would give the Chiefs the advantage because they're the home team in this one, and that would maybe where I think the advantage will last. I don't really think the injuries are going to play a factor in this game for that reason. I think both teams are banged up at this point in the season.
Yeah, the reason I bring it up, the reason I think it's an issue tonight is that Tysh wrote a really good piece on ESPN today that I was reading. It was talking about Andy Reid's waited 20 years to have this offense and this particular group of players and this offense to be able to go out and do it. He's not going to be able to do the things he's been able to do. I mean, this offense is much different than it was 3 weeks ago. I'm not saying the Chiefs aren't going to be able to go out there and score, because I think they will. I mean, you still got Travis Kelce, and you've got hopefully 80-85% of Tyreek Hill out there. What I'm looking for, and what I don't think anybody talks about outside of Kansas City, is Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson. I've been really impressed with those guys this year. So I think those guys are going to get a lot of use. I really do. But I do think, at least somewhat, Andy's going to have to smoke and mirror this thing on offense a little bit tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm maybe not as concerned about that as you seem to be. I mean, if Tyreek Hill's going in this one and Travis Kelce is going in this one, you still got 90% more weapons than the other teams.
I just don't know how much Tyreek Hill has. That's what I'm curious about. I mean, I think he's going to be okay, but man, You got a flat tire on a Ferrari. It doesn't go as fast. You know what I mean? And so that's the part that somewhat concerns me about Tyreek Hill.
Man, we talk about the advantages that either team has in this game. I think it comes down to something. I would say three things that are very simple. I remember at the beginning of the season when I was making my pick on who I thought was going to win the AFC West, the reason that I picked the Chargers to win it was I trusted their quarterback more than I knew about Mahomes at the time, and I trusted their defense more than I trusted any other thing. I think we've evolved to the point we've seen enough football so far this season that the three biggest advantages in the AFC West are these three. It's Andy Reid versus the other coaches in the division, whether it's Anthony Lynn, whether it's Vance Joseph, whether it's John Gruden. Andy Reid is far and away better than the other coaches in the AFC West. Then I think you look at the quarterback position. I think Rivers has had a good season. But, man, it's not even close between who's had the better year, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or Phillip Rivers. If you want to talk about Case Keenum, you want to talk about Derek Carr. The gap between Mahomes and those quarterbacks is Grand Canyon size.
Sure.
And I would say the biggest home field advantage in the division will continue to be Arrowhead at night. That's where I think this game is won. I think the Chargers are a good team. They already have double-digit wins. They can win 12 games this year. They've been able to go on the road and win against Pittsburgh. They won at Seattle earlier this year. I think the Chargers are a good team. But I think we've seen time and time again that Andy Reid, the quarterback, whether it be Alex Smith, in protecting the football, going up against Rivers with the ability to take the football away, man, those have been the advantages time and time again in the matchups between these two teams.
Yeah, and the other part of that too, C-Dot, is that even though this Chargers defense is pretty good, I mean, they've got cooked against really good quarterbacks. I mean, Jared Goff lit him up for 354, you know, earlier on in the season. But I'm with you. I mean, the Chiefs are going to win this game, in my opinion. I think they're going to take care of business. I mean, the short week, the injuries at Arrowhead, Eric Berry's coming back. You got all these factors playing in tonight. Night game at Arrowhead. We know what a zoo it is out there for that. So I'm with you. Like, I when it comes right down to it, the Chiefs are going to win this game. I'd be shocked if the Chiefs don't beat the Chargers tonight at Arrowhead Stadium. I just think it's a little bit different than what we've been used to. You know, and I think as the season goes along, teams change, teams evolve, teams devolve. You know, and I'm not saying the offense has completely devolved, because it hasn't, but Sammy Watkins isn't out there. Kareem Hunt's gone. Tyreek Hill's a little bit banged up. And we got some running backs with not a whole lot of experience and a guy that wasn't even on roster until last week. So I do think the offense is going to change a little bit. I would have felt a lot more comfortable about it tonight if Spencer Ware was still able to go, because he showed me a lot last week. I was curious how much of an impact that he could have as a starting running back coming off that ACL and not getting a lot of touches this year. I felt really good about the offense last week seeing Spencer Ware. But not having him tonight and Tyreek a little bit banged up, I do think it's going to be a little bit closer, and that's why I do think it's going to be one of Andy Reid's toughest tests when it comes to coaching the offense and calling the plays tonight.
And maybe one thing I think you and I have learned over the course of the week as we've had these conversations when it comes to streaks and how much they matter in the history. Yeah. The two streaks in this are hard for me to fight.
Whether it's
Chiefs versus the Chargers the last nine times, that's been in a lot of different scenarios. That's been on Sunday Night Football. That's been on Monday Night Football. That's been on short week.
It's been
week
in San Diego, L.A., soccer stadiums.
That's been everywhere. Yeah. That's one thing. If you won the last nine times against this team, at some point you have to show me, you have to prove to yourself and the rest of the league that that's a game you can win. And we talk about this being the biggest test for Andy Reid. They never lose these games in their last 21 games in the AFC West. Yeah. That's against the Chargers. That's against the Broncos. That's against the Raiders. They are 20-1, and the one loss was on Thursday Night Football, short week.
On the road against the Raiders.
In which it took multiple pass interference penalties to keep giving Oakland a chance to win the game from the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
Man, Andy Reid just doesn't lose these kind of games that, if this was any other scenario, we would be like, oh, man, no-brainer in this situation.
Yeah.
Man, 20-1 in your last 21 games in the division, and you've beat this team the last nine times? Man, we can look at all the angles and all that stuff. At some point, it comes down to a very simple, can you actually do it? Not talk about it. Can you actually go on the field in 460 minutes? Can you outplay the Kansas City Chiefs? Because I think what has been the biggest deciding factor in these matchups is, man, the Chargers just make more mistakes than the Chiefs. Every single time, they make more mistakes. They make the key drop. They miss the field goal. They miss the big-time block. Whatever it is, the Chargers make the critical mistake, and the Chiefs always capitalize on that mistake. Will that define this game today? We'll see.
I think it's certainly going to play a role in it. I really do. And you can't look past those streaks. I would be able to look past those streaks a little bit if we're talking about a noon kick on a Sunday at Arrowhead when everybody's had a full week to get ready to go. Because I firmly believe if you got a full week and get ready to go, I think Melvin Gordon plays in this game. But if it's on a Thursday, if he goes tonight at all, and again, I mentioned this yesterday, for Chiefs fans that don't fully follow the Chargers and know about Melvin Gordon, he's essentially Kareem Hunt. Like, that's how dangerous of a guy he is. He's lethal in the pass game. He's lethal in the running game. But I don't think they're going to have – they may not have him tonight. I mean, we don't know at this point if he's going to play, but more than likely, if he does, he's not going to be who he is. So it's going to be tough for the Chargers to get this win. I think everything – all those things that you mentioned, and then you throw in Thursday Night Football, a night game, and Eric Berry coming back. I don't give the Chargers much of a chance in this game, but I guarantee you they're going to put up a fight.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll get to the latest when it comes to Eric Berry. And there's something Fanning always says. I want to ask him how that relates to Eric Berry. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll catch up with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus to get the breakdown between the Chiefs and the Chargers tonight at Arrowhead. Yesterday, we caught up with Matt Miller. Here's what he had to say about the return of Eric Berry.
Oh, my God, huge. 75% Eric Berry is still, I think, one of the 10 best safeties in football. So I would take that all day, every day. And just what he's going to bring, I mean, we've talked about it before, guys. It's not only what he does in coverage and what he does in run support. It's the confidence that he gives the rest of the defense. Of like, hey, we don't have to be perfect because we have a difference maker and a game changer who is playing in that safety position. So it just adds a little bit more swagger to the defense. Guys fly around a little bit more. There'd be folks listening that are like, this isn't high school football. That stuff doesn't matter. But it absolutely does. When you have the heart and soul of your defense get back on the field healthy, it's going to make a gigantic difference. And you know that the emotions are going to be running wild for those guys. And I would expect, if he is back at 75%, I think he's going to be a big play mate.
I think that's by far the biggest storyline when it comes to this individual game is the return of Eric Berry. What can he do? How limited is he going to be? How much is he going to play? Earlier today, Ian Rappaport tweeted out, Chief safety Eric Berry, who will get one of the loudest ovations we've heard at Arrowhead Stadium tonight, is going to start and be on a pitch count, I'm told. He'll take it slow, not having played since week one of 2017, but Kansas City's leader on defense is back from Achilles and heel injury. This is also another report from NFL Network when it came to the injuries in this game.
Eric Berry, of course, the huge star safety for the Chiefs, hasn't played since week one last year when he tore his Achilles. He's officially listed as questionable. Andy Reid saying he will have pain, but his pain threshold is high. All a matter of how he feels at this point. He's practiced in a limited role the last 3 weeks. But we are expecting to see him. Ian Rappaport reported on Sunday that we should see him. And then yesterday when the Chiefs released this 25-second hype video, Berry was featured in about half of it. A bigger question, Tyreek Hill. We're also expecting to see him play in practice this week. He was running around without a limp. He did have a little limp when he walked, but not when he ran. That was interesting. He is questionable as well. The big question, as we've been talking about for the Chargers, is Melvin Gordon. He's missed the last 2 weeks with that knee injury. He says he's feeling a lot better. They'll make that decision for him officially a little closer to game time, but both him and Chargers coach Anthony Lynn saying they'll be very cautious with Melvin Gordon's knee.
So as we know, a lot of guys are banged up for this one. It is to be expected. We're late in the season. It's December. It's a short week. Guys are going to be banged up at this point of the NFL season. What I like to talk about, Fanning, is if there's one thing I've learned from you over the 2 years you and I have done this show together, you tell me all the time to look beyond numbers.
Yeah.
You tell me that the analytics guys, that the stats guys, there are some things that you cannot quantify in numbers.
It's true.
What's the analytic on that? Is there any player on the Chiefs that would signify that more than Eric Berry? Because I'm with you. There are a lot of things that we do not know about Eric Berry's health. I haven't seen him play football since last September. I don't know how I will know how his body's going to respond. Yeah. But based on what you always tell me about about analytics and leadership, and there's certain kind of things that we can't measure, can you tell me a player on the Chiefs roster that I think would exemplify that saying more than Eric Berry?
No, I can't. I mean, he's the guy, right? He's the guy. I mean, you know, leaders go out there, and at least the best leaders in locker rooms and clubhouses go out there and they perform and they hold everybody else accountable. Now, I'm not saying Eric Berry doesn't try to hold guys accountable when he's not playing, but let's be honest, man. He hadn't been on the field since week one. So, yeah, you want to talk about something that's not on Pro Football Reference. It's the effect that the rest of that defense, the rest of that team, the rest of that coaching staff, and all the people in that stadium, how they're going to feel when Eric Berry's on the field. Like, that is a lift. I don't know how you quantify it. You can't, but it's there. It exists, you know? And, you know, we talked about Mahomes, and one of the defining moments of him is when he got up and he addressed the team after Kareem Hunt was released before the team headed to Oakland. No stat for that, man. There's not. But that's what a leader does, and that's what gets guys to follow them when things are going south. The biggest thing that you need when things get going sideways, is a good leader to get you back on track and hold you accountable and keep a clear head. And Eric Berry has always been that guy. If you look at those videos in the locker room after the games that the Chiefs release each and every week, until this year, it was always Eric Berry breaking everybody down. It wasn't Alex Smith. It wasn't anybody else. It was the one, the only Eric Berry, and he's going to be back tonight. Now, you could still lead if you're Eric Berry because you've been through a lot. You went through cancer. You know, you were an all-pro. The guy's still got a lot of cred. Now, you can lead, but if you're not out on the field, you can't lead as much. So I'm with you 100%. There's not one other player on this football team that can give you that than Eric Berry.
I would at least say in this one individual game, I would say I feel really confident, and I would say I know these two things going in tonight regarding Eric Berry. The emotional lift that he is going to provide, I think, can outweigh some of the physical deficiencies that he's going to have in this one.
Sure.
Like, just the ability of seeing EB there, the confidence that the other guys on that team have in Eric Berry, that's going to give this defense some kind of boost. It's going to give the crowd some kind of boost. It's going to put a little extra juice in the Arrowhead. And what I'll also say is, I don't know what Eric Berry's at. Like, all of us have been throwing these hypothetical numbers when it comes to percentage. Maybe he's 60. Maybe he's 70. None of us know.
Yeah.
I know this much. That's 25 snaps that Eric Murray ain't on the field. That's 25 snaps that Daniel Sorensen ain't out there on the field. That's 25 snaps Ron Parker isn't out there on the field. Yeah. However you want to divvy it up, whether that's 9 snaps for Eric Murray, that's 8 snaps for Ron Parker, however you want to divvy it up. I find it hard to believe that Eric Berry cannot be an improvement over those guys in a game in which we know their secondary is going to be tested.
Yeah.
So you're right. I can go into this blind when it comes to some things. But I've seen enough of the Chiefs' defense to know, and their secondary and their safeties to know, that they were going to get a workout anyway. When it comes to tonight,
so if Eric Berry was 45%, would that be an upgrade over Sorensen?
It might be Parker? Close. It might be.
I mean, what are we going at? 38% Eric Berry? Give you an upgrade?
I don't know. I'm just saying is
22.
I just know that 100% of Eric Murray might not be in the league next year. That's all I know. 100% of Eric Murray might not be in the league next year. I know Eric Berry's going to be in the NFL this year, so he has to be an improvement over
that. And this is the perfect game. This is when you really need it. I mean, if you look at what Phillip Rivers has done this year too, C-Don, 29 touchdowns, 6 picks, completing almost 70% of his passes, got a team with 10 wins. In some years, man, that's an MVP performance. So they're going to be facing a quarterback that's going to go out there and sling it because that's what Rivers does. And so having Berry back there, I mean, how do you think that makes Steven Nelson, Orlando Scandrick, and Kendall Fuller feel to have Eric Berry back there? That's got to give those guys a little bit of confidence right out of the gate. Now, if Berry can't perform, if he goes out there and he can't cover anybody, then, I mean, you know, the lift is going to go away pretty damn quick. But I don't see that being the case, at least for tonight.
And I look at this team when you talk about the secondary and the test. When it comes from Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen, and what I think the Chargers are going to be able to do with the passing attack.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not John Madden, but I know this much. You aren't running the ball a bunch with Justin Jackson and Detrez Newsome.
Who?
Between the two of those guys, they have 32 carries in their NFL career. 32 carries between Detrez Newsome and Justin Jackson. The Chargers, similar to the Chiefs, they're not running the ball 35 times unless they got a lead and they're just trying to go ahead and end this game. This is going to be a game similar to the first matchup between these two teams. Rivers is throwing the ball 50 times. Rivers is throwing the ball 50 times. I expect a lot of 4-wide sets, a lot of 5-wide sets to take advantage of the Chiefs secondary and take advantage and really test Eric Berry. Hey, is he a guy that can backpedal and go deep? Let's try some stuff over the top. Hey, let's really throw at him because I think we've seen one thing. If you really challenge this Chiefs secondary, you can get yards on them and you can force them to commit penalties. So that's what I expect the Chargers to do offensively here. Again, this is not going to be a game where you're running the ball a lot with Justin Jackson and Detrez Newsome, who just haven't played a whole lot in the NFL. This is the game in which guys are going to be 4-wide, be 5-wide, and they're going to really try to put pressure on the Chiefs secondary.
No, absolutely. You look at the receivers that they have, too. I mean, we talk about Keenan Allen a lot. We haven't talked a whole lot about Tyrell Williams or Mike Williams. I mean, those guys have combined for 18 touchdowns, all three of those dudes. And you look at Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams, and by the way, see, there's going to be a lot of Williams on the field
tonight.
Bunch
of Williams.
You got a bunch of – is Montel going to be out there? We figure that out yet or not?
I'm not sure.
Is he beating the drum tonight?
No, nah, Tony's
Oh, doing that's
that.
Right. My bad. But anyway, you got Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams out there. Those guys average over 17 yards a catch, okay? So, yeah, it's and you don't have Melvin Gordon. You don't have Austin Eckler to run the football. It's going to be a pass fest tonight. I think that scoreboard's going to get lit up. So having Eric Berry back for as many snaps as you possibly can is the best-case scenario for the Chiefs.
Really quickly, before we catch up with Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus, we'll do that here in just a little bit. I want to play for you guys what Matt Miller had to say and his evaluation of the Chargers running back situation.
Yeah, those names that don't just roll off the tongue, right? Like, they're not players that we've all heard of or studied a lot. I mean, I don't think that Justin Jackson, I would expect him to probably get the most of carries just based on how these guys played in college. But, I mean, these are – you know, UDFA type players that, you know, Justin Jackson, I never ever saw as like a home run threat. He was just all day average in college, very, very solid, you know, one cut kind of between the tackle player. He's not going to give you the big playability that Austin Eckler would. None of these guys have this vision of Melvin Gordon, which he combines so well with power to make him, you know, when healthy, one of the top tier backs in the country. So it's one of those things that you look at the Chargers, and it's almost unfortunate because it's this way every year with them. They just get so banged up by the end of the year, and they don't have the depth to counter that. So it's going to put a lot of pressure on Phillip Rivers. It's going to put a lot of pressure on the receiving core, which that is the strength of their offense, which does not match up well with the weakness of the Chiefs' defense. That's going to be, I think, the matchup to watch. You know, depending on who's going to win this game, I think it's going to go down to that. Can the Chiefs get to Phillip Rivers? Can they pressure him and find some way, whether it by scheme or somebody stepping up, to slow down those receivers?
So if Melvin Gordon doesn't go today for the Los Angeles Chargers, then Justin Jackson and Detrez Newman will be the running backs for the Chargers. They have 32 carries between the both of them. No disrespect to either one of them. They are dime a dozen running backs. There's thousands of Justin Jacksons. There's thousands of Trez Newsoms. Not saying those guys can't be effective, but those are not guys I would be worried about going into this game. The guys you should be worried about are Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen, because Keenan Allen got 19 targets in the game against the Steelers. I expect something very similar today against the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in just a bit to learn a little bit more, we'll talk to our guy Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. Join us coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 15 minutes. We will all take a minute, and we'll give you a chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks. But right now, we'll head to the phone line to catch up with one of my favorite football guests of the week. With stats and information so good that NFL teams pay for it, and it's backed by Chris Collinsworth of NBC Sports, it is our guy, Sam Munson. Sam, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How about you guys?
Doing fantastic. Let's start with this. What is the impact of the Chiefs having Eric Berry?
I thought we were going to start on Hunter Henry against Derek Johnson. Is that not the big talking point in this game?
Hello?
You guys haven't seen the Stephen A. Smith clip?
No? Oh, we saw it, Sam.
I'm sorry.
We saw it, Sam. That was unbelievable, wasn't it?
It was amazing. It's one of the most impressive things I think I've ever seen, is a guy to get like four things completely wrong in the space of about 30 seconds.
How's Hunter Henry grading out in Pro Football Focus, man?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been quite the impressive season for Hunter Henry and the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, about Eric Berry, man, what do you think his impact's going to have tonight?
Yeah, I think he can have a big impact. You know, we've talked before about what a versatile safety and just a good player he is, period. And obviously, having a guy like that coming back can make a major impact to your team. We've been talking around the office today that, you know, he could have a kind of Bob Sanders-like impact for this team. You know, when Bob Sanders came back to the kind of 06 Indianapolis Colts, who had this terrible defense, and a guy who was injury-prone and didn't have the kind of career that he could potentially have had if he hadn't struggled with those injuries, made this lasting impact of his defense that really transformed them from their standard Peyton Manning team, really good on offense, struggling on defense, to a team that was a Super Bowl winner that year. And that's, Eric Berry could have that kind of impact for this Chiefs defense. Takes a unit that is not great, it's not fantastic, and gives them just enough. Gives them enough to be able to combat these other high-powered offenses throughout the NFL and to give the Chiefs enough of an edge.
So, Sam, they were talking about pitch count, at least Ian Rappaport was. I think that's what everybody expects. I don't expect Berry to go out there and play 50 snaps today. So if he gets 20, 25 snaps, how exactly would you use Eric Berry if you were Bob Sutton?
Yeah, I think the biggest value he can have is, you know, a guy that can patrol the middle and match up in these short zones against tight ends or even against guys like Keenan Allen and give you a better option than the Pittsburgh Steelers had when they just line linebackers up on these slot receivers and expect them to deal with them. I think Eric Berry gives you a more versatile coverage defender than that, gives you somebody that can go one-on-one with a guy like that and slow them down in coverage, and that's really what you need.
Talking to Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. Sam, tonight I'm kind of worried about protection a little bit when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, because Joey Bosa's back. He wasn't with him when the Chiefs played the Chargers in week one. And you've got three running backs that haven't got a whole lot of playing time in Damian Williams and Darrell Williams and Charcandrick West, and Spencer Ware is out tonight. You talked about Mitchell Schwartz a little bit this week and how he's the third highest ranked right tackle per Pro Football Focus. What makes him so good?
I think he's been a top-level right tackle for a number of years, dating back to his time with the Browns. He's obviously got extremely sound technique. He's a better athlete than I think people give him credit for. And he's just very good at what he does, particularly when it comes to pass blocking. And he is a guy, I think, that can go one-on-one with Joey Bosa and come out on top. He's given Joey Bosa, two of the lowest grades of his career have come in games against the Chiefs. The issue is that Joey Bosa doesn't just play on one side. He's not going to be going up against Mitchell Schwartz every single game. He's going to have, or every single snap, he's going to play against Eric Fisher as well. And Eric Fisher is a much different proposition than Mitchell Schwartz is when it comes to pass blocking and comes to dealing with a guy like Bosa. So if you look at, let's say, just the pressure allowed this season and the penalties, Eric Fisher has surrendered double the number of penalties that Mitchell Schwartz has over the season. But Schwartz has given up 2 sacks, 5 hits, 9 hurries, whereas Eric Fisher has given up 3 sacks, 5 hits, and 29 hurries. So
wow.
If you're talking about a dramatically different volume of pressure that comes from his side of the field than comes from Schwartz's side of the field. And, you know, Bosa is going to spend probably half of his time going up against Eric Fisher and not Mitchell Schwartz.
Sam, last week I saw that Mahomes, I think he was pressured 30 times, which was double the most of any other quarterback in the league. What makes him so good? You made me think of this when you're talking about the 29 hurries that Fisher's given up. Why has Mahomes become so good when he's being hurried or being hit?
Well, I think actually he hasn't been among the best quarterbacks in the NFL when he's been pressured. You know, it's still, by and large, it is one of the ways of mitigating the kind of damage that he's able to have on teams. If you look at, you know, NFL passer rating, Patrick Mahomes isn't in the top 10 when it comes to play under pressure. Guys like Philip Rivers, in fact, is by far number one when it comes to passer rating under pressure at a pretty absurd rate. He's at 98.6, which is more than 10 points higher than any other quarterback. What I think Patrick Mahomes does is he has the ability to make spectacular plays when he's pressured. So it's not that he is way more efficient than any of these other guys when they're pressured and that he's consistently better than everybody else. It's that his highlight reel when under pressure, and particularly outside of the pocket, is just absurd. I think he has the second most touchdowns in the NFL when under pressure. He's got the second most yardage after Kirk Cousins. So he's able to make some absolutely spectacular things happen when under pressure. But it's not necessarily when he's at his best. It's just that you create this almost all or nothing situation where it's either going to be the thing that slows him down and forces the three and out, or it's going to be like the worst thing that happened to your defense because he's going to make something spectacular happen and make you pay for it.
Right now we're talking to Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus. Sam, Austin Eckler is out for this game, and I don't think Melvin Gordon's going to play. I know it hasn't been ruled yet that he's out, but I don't think that he's going to play. Both of them were big helps for Los Angeles when it came to the passing game in the first matchup. I guess two-part question here. What do you make of Los Angeles' backup quarterbacks? And knowing the volume in which Phillip Rivers is going to throw the ball to Keenan Allen, how would you defend Keenan Allen in this game if you were the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think one of the things that makes those two running backs, Gordon and Eckler, so good this season is that they've both been major parts of that passing game. They're not just ball carriers. They're not just two-down players that have no place on the field on third downs or in obvious passing situations. They're both dangerous in the passing game as well as on the ground, and that's the biggest thing that they need to be able to overcome. With the new guys that are going to be out there, they need guys that can be factors as receivers. And a lot of times teams struggle with young backs, not because those guys can't be dangerous receivers, but because in order for them to be dangerous receivers, you need to be able to trust them in pass blocking. You need to be able to put them out there in passing situations, knowing that they understand the protections and they won't get your quarterback killed. And that's the reason that a lot of young running backs don't see that much playing time on passing downs. And then you're right, that does kind of swing the balance even more towards Keenan Allen, he is that offense. You look at just the weight of targets that Keenan Allen gets compared to anybody else in that team, and it's massive. He's got 114 targets this season. No other wide out there has got more than 50. Mike Williams got 47 targets. Tyrell Williams got 45, but all of the balls go towards Keenan Allen. So he's the guy that you need to focus on shutting down, but they make that harder than a lot of receivers. You know, some guys are lined up, and you're only ever going to see them outside. If you wanted to track them with the number one corner or you wanted to double-team those guys outside, you can do that. The Chargers will move Keenan Allen to the slot. They'll get him off the line of scrimmage. They do a lot creatively to make it hard for you to give him all of this attention. Plus, he's so good off the line. He has one of the best releases of any wide receiver in the game. So it's really hard to just put a guy and jam him at the line of scrimmage and try and disrupt his timing that way, because he's so good at making that guy miss instantly and just immediately exposing you for a big game.
Sam, we got Chiefs, we got Chargers on Thursday Night Football tonight. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think there's the loss of those two running backs is a significant thing, but more importantly, I think the Chiefs' offense is just better. They're going to win the shootout. I think we'll probably see Philip Rivers actually keep pace with them for a period of time, but I can't see them sustaining it over the course of the game.
And that's Sam Munson from Pro Football Focus. Sam, always good talking to you, my man.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
Thanks, Sam.
I thought what Sam said there at the end when it comes to the targets, man, Keenan Allen. I mean, this is going to be a day in which Keenan Allen is getting the ball early and often. I mean, you want to take away a team's number two, number three, number four options with some of the injuries that have happened. Keenan Allen got 19 targets against the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. I expect something very similar in this one. I could see him getting 20 targets in this one. I just don't know where else the offense comes from if Keenan Allen doesn't have a big day.
I don't see how they can possibly go away from Keenan Allen, really. I mean, they're going to have to depend on him the way the Chiefs are going to have to depend on Travis Kelce tonight. I mean, that's really the easiest way to put it. I mean, his targets this year, not even close. I talked about Tyrell and Mike Williams. I mean, Keenan Allen's targets for the season are 121. The Williams guys, 48 apiece. So even they're going to Keenan Allen. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's their number one guy that they have to go to with Gordon and Eckler out.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win $25 at Twin Peaks. But first, we'll all take a minute, and I got a little bit of an issue with the Kansas City legend. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a bit, we'll play for you guys what Rich Gannon had to say about Philip Rivers. We'll do that coming up in just a bit. We'll also give you a chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks. But you guys know, same time every day. Dusty, can I take a minute, please? So today I'm scrolling the old Twitter machine and I see Eric Stonestreet. You guys know who Eric Stonestreet is.
Mm-hmm.
Movie star, TV star, star of Modern Family. I like Eric Stonestreet. He's a friend of the show, friend of the station. Got no issues with Eric Stonestreet. But keep your indoors watching the game behind indoors. Today, he had the audacity to release this video to the Kansas City Chiefs fans. Hit it for me, Dusty.
Hello, Chiefs fans. Eric Stonestreet here. Tonight, we play the Los Angeles Chargers at Arrowhead. I won't be there. You will. And it's going to be chilly. And you're probably going to be wearing these gloves. Now listen to what it sounds like when you clap with gloves. No good. So I ask you tonight, when the Chargers are on offense, simply remove your gloves and clap. Like this. Hear the difference? Go Chiefs!
Now, Eric, you live in Los Angeles, California.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have freeze and rain and snow very often in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah. Do you have to borrow those gloves, you think?
You're watching the game indoors. Weather's not a factor. How dare you tell the people actually at the game, freezing their behinds off, who knows how long they've been out there, when they should take their gloves off to keep their hands warm? Well, I've got my own set of advice for you. Chiefs fans, go to Walmart, go to CVS, load up on all the hand warmers you can. And every quarter, you break one out and you get a fresh pack. So you can stand up on your feet and cheer the Chiefs on to a victory and securing a bye in the AFC West title. Don't take your gloves off. Don't expose your body to the elements. That's my weather advice today.
That's my minute. That's really good advice, man.
He didn't even have real gloves. He had on, like, safety gloves.
They're like leather. I don't know
like
what those were.
Like you used to clean
man.
The toilets. That's the kind of gloves he had
they
on.
They look like gloves from a guy that never wears gloves.
Or a guy who's getting ready to murder somebody.
Yeah, that too. Dusty, can I have a minute, please? All right, so our guy B.J. Kissel at Chiefs.com, one of the Chiefs reporters, great dude. Love the man. So he was in the Chiefs facility earlier today, and he was shooting video from his phone out the window. And it showed the long lines of cars that are already waiting in line to get into the Chiefs parking lot for tonight's game to tailgate. What time's the game tonight, C.Dot? 7 what? 7:15?
7:15.
7:15. Right now it is 2:49 p.m. So here is my little public service announcement to Chiefs fans. Don't be drunk, go to Fist City guy. All right, it's a little public service announcement, all right? Because you're going to have 4 hours of beers and body shots and Boilermakers and cake stands. Like, you're going to be fully 113% oiled up for this game. No head button, no haymakers, no push from behind, none of that stuff. You want to know why? Because I want you to have a job tomorrow. I don't want you on Facebook. I don't want you on Twitter. I don't want you with a bloody ear, a bloody nose, making KCTV 5. So I'm just saying right now, if you're listening to me and you're already waiting in line to start banging beers out at Arrowhead, try to use some good judgment. And C-Don always says, do the woosah thing. If you think it's going to get sideways with some dude sitting next to you that just rested his package on your shoulder and spilled a beer on you. Use good judgment tonight. That's my minute.
I mean, if you haven't learned anything from the Chiefs over the last 2 weeks, it's don't assault people. I know that message maybe went over your head. Like, if you didn't.
No, you can't kick them.
If you didn't adhere that warning from the 23-year-old running back who is now employed, listen to Brad Fanning when he says, do not assault people.
Yeah.
That's sound wisdom. I can't argue with that.
I forgot to say don't kick women. You know, I forgot to put that in there.
That's there, too. No, that's absolutely it. Yeah.
Dusty?
I didn't know if I got a minute. Carrington took it away from me last time I produced for your show because I was just that horrendous with audio that he just punished my minute.
Well, you just used 30 seconds of it right there.
Yeah, well, here's my minute real quick. I want to see Travis.
Hold everybody to the standard.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done. Go ahead. I'm done.
No, you can go, man. What do you got?
No, I'm done. Go ahead.
Give me 30 seconds. You got it, man.
All right, 30 seconds. I'm going to lay it out on the line for you. Tonight, Tony Gonzalez goes to the Ring of Honor. He's the greatest tight end to ever play the game. He played for the Chiefs. He might have played for the Falcons for a little bit. I don't care about that. He had the greatest end zone celebration of all time that you can't do today. Guess what? Chiefs got another tight end that's pretty good. Hush it for a minute. I want to see Travis Kelce score a touchdown. Then you know what I want to see him do? I want to see him take that football, put it in his right hand, and dunk that thing in the uprights. I don't care if he gets a penalty. I want to see him give a tribute to Tony G, who bangs a drum, who finally gets his ring, but in concrete to be nonetheless, and then slam that ball through the uprights like he used to do that you can no longer do today. That's my minute. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Like you're gone for the day, or is that just the end of your minute?
You can only be so lucky.
All right.
I don't know if Dusty knows how this show works, that if you get upset at us interrupting your minute, this might not be the position for you.
No,
my
it's
guy.
Tough, man.
This might not be
I think Dusty's had about five NOS today. He's been hanging out with Binkley.
He's drinking energy drinks.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll give you a chance to win $25 to Twin Peaks. Yesterday, we talked to Rich Gannon. This is what he had to say about Phillip Rivers.
Well, I think his toughness, I think the best part of his game, and I think this is where he is the best quarterback in all of football. I'm talking about Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Patrick Mahomes, all of them. There's no one better in football at throwing the ball from a muddy pocket. And what I mean by that is when there's elbows and arms and hands and helmets and shoulder pads and push up in the face and pocket collapses around you, this guy doesn't budge. He's stoic. He'll sit in there with a tough jaw. He'll take the hit. He has to do that because he doesn't have the lateral mobility or quickness or change of direction skills that you like to see or the escapability at that position. So Rivers has to sit in there, but nobody does it better. And he'll sit there, and it doesn't always look pretty, but it somehow it gets to where it has to go. And I think that's what makes him really, really good, his toughness and his ability to sit in there despite the rush and the protection and not flinch.
Last four games for Phillip Rivers at Arrowhead. He has not thrown for 300 yards in any of those games. 2 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. The stats would suggest that Phillip Rivers is different this year. Single-digit interceptions. He's had double-digit interceptions every year since 2008. If there was a certainty in the NFL, other than Jeff Fisher going 7-9, it was that Phillip Rivers was going to throw at least 12 interceptions throughout the course of the season. He has not been that guy this year. Well, the Chiefs have been the ones to turn you into the turnover-prone, mistake-prone Los Angeles Chargers and Phillip Rivers. I said it yesterday. This game says as much about the Chargers and validating them and putting them in the category of the legitimate Super Bowl contenders as it says about Phillip Rivers. History would suggest you lose these kind of games if you're the Chargers and you play poorly if you're Phillip Rivers. Will you do that today? We'll see.
Yeah, and Rivers is a different guy. I mean, if there was no Mahomes – right now, Rivers would be right in the middle of the MVP conversation. That's the kind of year he's having. 29 touchdowns, 6 picks. Guy's 37 years old. He's got 10 wins for his team, and he's fighting it out for a division title. But we got Mahomes, and they don't. And Rivers typically turns into Rivers when he plays the Chiefs.
Pop quiz.
Stand by, going to air. Five, four, three, two, one.
Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
Today's pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets $25 to Twin Peaks. Today's pop quiz is a movie. Take it away, Dusty.
Let me just say, as I ease out of the office, I helped build. I'm sorry, but it's a fact that there is such a thing as manners, a way of treating people. These fish have manners. In fact, they're coming with me. I'm starting a new company, and the fish will come with me. You can call me sentimental. The fish, they're coming with me.
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. Coming up in 2 minutes, today is a celebration of one of the five greatest Chiefs in the history of their organization. We'll celebrate him right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.